AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Legendary musician Brian Wilson has died. The Beach Boys defined summers in the 1960s with a string of hits. God only knows what I'd be without you. Entertainment reporter Matt Wolf.
One of the architects of the California sound, he was considered one of the most influential pop musicians of the 20th century. But Brian Wilson started simple, singing with his brothers in their living room, then forming the Beach Boys in 1961.
He was an admitted perfectionist, and reporter Jim Taylor says he fought demons.
He drove himself nearly crazy into a deep depression and out of the band he created. Recorded for years as a solo artist, but never achieved the heights of his early genius.
Wilson's family posted the news of his death on a website. He was 82 years old, the last surviving of three musical brothers. CBS News Special Report, I'm Cammy McCormick.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. The race for governor in Wisconsin for 2026 is currently up in the air. Joanne Krulatz reports.
A breakdown in negotiations over a tax cut and other spending measures in Wisconsin threatens to put the 2026 race for governor on hold, with the Democratic incumbent saying he won't announce his decision on seeking a third term in the swing state until after a budget deal is done. Governor Tony Evers and Republicans who control the legislature have been meeting in private since April, trying to hammer out a deal ahead of the July 1st deadline. But those talks broke down late Wednesday. Wisconsin is poised to be in the national political spotlight again next year with the race for governor and a fight over control of the legislature.
And Dugan has raised a lot of dollars. Stuart J. Waddles tells us more about the fundraising efforts for a Milwaukee County judge.
With her July 21st trial approaching, Judge Hannah Dugan's legal team has raised nearly $138,000 from thousands of small donors. That's according to JS Online. Dugan is charged with concealing an individual to prevent arrest and obstruction. Prosecutors say she helped a man avoid immigration agents in her courthouse by escorting him out of a back door. Her attorneys have asked for charges to be thrown out, arguing she acted within her official judicial capacity.
Federal prosecutors on Monday argued for charges to proceed. And a pair of Northwest Wisconsin Republican lawmakers were seeking co-sponsors for a bill that would establish a new dairy farm innovation program, who say it would help small and medium family farms through a no-interest loan program. And milk producers with between 50 and 714 cows and no environmental enforcement actions against them in the past 5 years are eligible. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
The Brewers battle back. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. The Brewers with a victory last night 4-1 to even their series with the Braves at one game apiece. The rubber match today. The homestand continues tomorrow night when the crew hosts the St. Louis Cardinals. NFL at the Packers minicamp. Quarterback Jordan Love was asked for his reaction to the team releasing Jair Alexander.
It's a tough one. You know, it's really tough losing a player Jair's caliber and someone that has been here since I got here. I've got nothing but love for Jair. Love my time being play with him, play against him every day. You know, he's a guy that made me better going against him, and we talk after practice a good amount just on what he's seeing with me, and you know, someone who definitely believed in me from the get-go when I got my opportunity.
NBA finals tonight in Indianapolis. The Pacers and the Thunder tied at one game apiece.
You know, I just got to figure out how to be better earlier in games. We can do a lot better job and see if we can get better, you know, going into game three.
That's the Pacers. Tyrese Haliburton from Oshkosh, Wisconsin, with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Mostly sunny today and summer-like, with high temperatures tapping 80 degrees. Showers and storms hold off until after midnight tonight, but they could linger early tomorrow morning. Otherwise, more could spark up tomorrow afternoon, and temps slide to the mid-70s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 75 degrees.
Matt Nair on air.
Rick Reed is here, an economics instructor.
Remember the film, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles? A driver is riding parallel to him and honking their horn saying, you're going the wrong way. And Candy and Steve Martin go, ha, 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 how do they know where we're headed? Congress and the administration are saying, this is what we're going to do for our budget. But at the end of the day, the Congressional Budget Office basically said that bill is going to create another $3.8 trillion in debt over the next 10 years.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
In sitcoms, when someone has a problem, they just blurt it out and move on.
Well, I lost my job and my parakeet is missing. How was your day?
But the real world is different. Managing life's challenges can be overwhelming. So, what do? We get support. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have mental health resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. See how much further you can go when you take care of your mental health.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Thursday, State Senate Democratic Leader Dianne Hesselbein with an update from the Capitol. Also, Chad Holmes and Sean O'Malley on Your Money and the Markets.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9. Full Falls Radio, WXCO.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Wednesday, June 11th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite, and it is
hump day.
Look at that. The camel's right on top of it. Here at the World Headquarters, downtown Madison, mostly clear skies, beautiful out right now. Most of the Canadian smoke has cleared for now. And it's a beautiful day, I think. Well, there'll be maybe some rain here or there this weekend setting up, but not too bad all in all. Glad to have you along, everybody. Zommers, how are you doing today?
Sorry, the microphone stand is having some trouble, so it was pretty far away from
If it keeps doing that for 4 hours, we'll call the engineers.
We might have to.
I'm not sure what's going on there. But
good nonetheless.
Yes, good. All right, good, good. Glad you're doing well. Big show today coming up in hour two. At the bottom of the hour, Seth Taft is going to be here talking about the big parade on Saturday. I cannot wait. Looking forward to that. Stay tuned. Might not be what you think. Talking parades at 3:35. Also, at hour two, what's worse, funerals or no funeral? I sound like Howie Mandel. Funeral or no funeral? We'll talk about that in hour two as well. And coming up at the bottom of this hour, the founder of the Recombobulation Area and our own political editor here at Civic Media, Mr. Dan Schaefer, will be coming on at the bottom of the hour to discuss his brand new op-ed causing a few waves, stirring the pot. Usually Todd is the pot stirrer, but not this time. Ms. Dan Schaefer, in his new article, calling on Governor Tony Evers to pass the torch and not to run for a third term as governor. Going to be talking about him. But right now, we bring on, as we always do on Wednesdays, he is the host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow every morning from 6 until 9 from the beautiful Lake Wissota studios. Mr. Pat Kreitlow, and from our nation's capital, right outside of the nation's capital, the senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, Mr. Trygve Olson. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
How are you guys?
Todd. I'm good. I'm relieved. I'm very relieved.
Why is that?
Because I knew that Dan Schaefer was working on an article about, reaching a certain age and, hanging it up, mm-hmm. stepping aside for younger folks to come in. I really thought it was going to be about me. I was very pleased that he trained his fire on someone else because young Parker Olson, our new producer, was rubbing his hands together like, this is my chance.
Right.
And the old man's going to keep broadcasting in the morning for the foreseeable future.
Pat Kreitlow believes, much like the Pope, he doesn't go anywhere until he dies. He'll be there for a while. And I'm happy about that. You don't need to go anywhere, Pat. You're doing a great job.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. So are you, Todd. You're doing great.
appreciate it. Great. I talked to Trivia earlier. I said, what do you think about what's going on? What do you think Saturday? Are you have any worries about Saturdays? And in true Trivia fashion, he's like, I don't know. I'm getting out of town.
I said Dodge, actually.
That's right. I'm getting out of Dodge. Yes. You're not going to be in the nation's capital for the big parade, Trigby.
I am not. Nope.
And you're happy about that.
College hunting with my daughter.
College hunting. All right, so we'll talk politics
and
more.
I think we're going to go to Busch Gardens, too.
Busch Gardens?
An amusement park.
I didn't know. Is that part of the Busch Presidential Library?
Or I could be at Busch Gardens. I'm going with Busch Gardens.
All right, very good. We'll talk more politics in a minute, but right now it's 10 minutes past 2 o'clock time once again to play the Scotty Summer Text to Win contest. Here we go. And it's 2 bad feet on the dashboard. That's right. Time once again for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest. You know, by now, only 3 days left, including today. Everybody who texts in will be eligible for one of two fabulous grand prizes getaways to either the Baraboo Dells area or beautiful Door County, along with a gas card to get you there and back. If you want to know the particulars, going to have to log on to civicmedia.us. It gives you all the beautiful details of where you could be going if the price is right. No, if you text in and are selected randomly by our computer. But right now, this hour, only now until 3 o'clock, we're going to give you a chance to win a pair of Milwaukee Brewers tickets to a Brewers game to be named later in our beautiful club seats. These are beautiful seats. Pat, you've been there. We've gone to game together. These are great seats.
Awesome seats. I'm kicking myself that I haven't been able to use them yet, but I will, unless you give them all away.
No, we'll, of course we'll save some for you. So here we go now. Download the Civic Media app at your favorite app store if you don't have it. Open it up. The first 11 stations are the ones that we're on, although the terrestrial radio, some of the games actually are playing the Brewers right now. But we're on the app at all the stations. Open up one of them. Down the lower right-hand corner, it'll say text. Click on that. And now we'll give you the word to text in. This hour's word is swim. S-W-I-M. The word is swim. S-W-I-M. When you go to Lake Wissota, if the water is warm enough, you can take a swim. S-W-I-M, text the word swim right now. Somebody at the end of this hour is going to win a pair of Milwaukee Brewer tickets. Is the water warm enough yet, Lake Wissota, Pat?
Not even close, but that's okay. You know, the ice is out.
Kind
that's,
of a question
that's the important
is that?
Thing. Yeah.
I don't know. We missed you, Trigby. We were all set to go on a pontoon cruise, and you stood us up over Memorial Day weekend.
I know. It was Memorial Day weekend.
I know.
So there is that.
All right. I'm curious on you guys on a couple of takes here. Number one, what's going on out in Los Angeles with these protests? There has been some unrest. Some businesses have gotten looted there. I think there's say like 15 or 20 or so. It's in a very confined part of Los Angeles, about a mile or so square. I've talked to friends out there. They're like, look, most of us are like, we don't even know what's going on. I've condemned any sort of looting. I've condemned violence, just like January 6th violence. There should be no violence unprovoked out in Los Angeles. But again, first Pat, then Trigvy, what's your take on this in terms of, it just seems like complete overreaction to me on the part of the Trump administration.
Oh, it's not overreaction. It's provocation is what it is. It's exactly what they want on the issue that they want. They knew there was going to be pushback, though I, for one, would not be surprised if some of the people that are smashing windows and things like that aren't exactly upset about ICE, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
I don't doubt that there are some Trump-friendly agitators that would like to provoke this and provoke anything out there. It's all for that. It's something that they want to do in other cities that have, you know, Democratic administration. I would not be surprised for Donald Trump to talk about sending troops to Milwaukee. He's talked about that in the past. So why wouldn't he? This, again, is an administration that is not deporting as many people as the Obama administration did or as the George W. Bush administration did. So why do they need troops now? Why do they need these Home Depot raids now? Because it is a very intentional way of taking our race-based policy and saying, you know, we're not even pretending anymore. We're just rounding up whatever brown people we can. We're sending them on their way. If anybody protests, then we hide behind police. We love doing that law and order thing until it actually comes time to protect them. We're bringing in troops. We're not giving them a place to sleep. We're not adequately setting up the logistics to give them food and water and everything else. It is all just one big play by somebody who is probably read all of everything Trigvi's written about authoritarians and using it as a roadmap, you know, and saying, yeah, let's do these things.
That's a great segue. Trigvi, of those that might not know, you've actually taken on authoritarianism around the world on the ground. To Pat's point, guys like me could talk about all this seems to be authoritarian or fascism. If someone who's lived it, where are we at in terms of stages? Is this a very early stage? Are we kind of getting deeper into this? How concerned should we be by the things that Pat just mentioned?
Well, here's the thing, Todd. This just proves that the analytics is right, because I can see that Pat has been reading my Substack posts every day, and Todd has not been. Pat, that's what he just exposed right here.
required reading, absolutely. I mean, it should be the show notes of this program.
You know, today I wrote about dehumanization, and we're well into that aspect of the move towards political extremism. You know, there is a dehumanization that is going on, and that's a slippery slope, right? Because when you start dehumanizing one group of other, it very quickly can cascade into demonizing a whole other group of others. You know, to Pat's point, would it be beyond some of these people to try and throw up a false flag? You know, I think there's a lot of them where they have gotten so far out over their skis, they think the ends justifies any means. And the violence, you know, to be honest, if the violence is coming from the left, one of the rules of dealing with autocrats is don't hand the other side battering rams. And it is important for people to recognize that is the one thing that actually turns people towards Trump's policies, not against them.
Mm-hmm. Which is why I said what I said. I would not be surprised to mention false flags or plants. And I'm not saying there's not knuckleheads involved, you know, in these. We're talking Los Angeles, for goodness sakes. But to take it to another point of, you know, who are you dehumanizing? It's not just the left. It's a particular part of the left as well. And I'm referring to the media. You've seen already reporters essentially targeted. I mean, quite literally targeted, shot in the leg with a rubber bullet, roughed up by, officers of one sort or another. That, again, is intentional. They're trying to rule by intimidation. Again, that's the thing that autocrats do. And so it's not just about Los Angeles. It's not just about Gavin Newsom. It's about, again, cowering the media, which brings me to an unrelated point, but I'm going to make it anyway. If for folks who didn't see the live Broadway presentation of Goodnight and Good Luck with George Clooney on CNN over the weekend, go find it or go find the movie from 20 years ago, because the parallels to McCarthyism to now are striking. And you'll see that in the show, just as you see it right now on the evening news.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I would say the other thing I've learned from around the world is if you think that it won't come to Madison, Wisconsin, or Milwaukee, or Chippewa Falls, or River Falls, or Baraboo, or Green Bay, you're kidding yourself.
Yeah.
It will eventually come there too. And well, it will be the cops on the street, the military on the street. It won't be. If it gets to that, it will. You don't think that you're safe just because you're living in Chippewa Falls or River Falls or wherever.
There's reporting out already today that Trump is kind of naming the next tier of cities that he's going to target to deploy forces in. And Chicago is on that, very close, obviously, to Milwaukee. Also reporting today by various news sources, television stations in California, that ICE is now going into fields. Farm fields in California where strawberries are being picked and whatnot, and trying to round people up like that. Whether or not you see it directly, the price of strawberries in Chippewa Falls and Richland Center and Amory is going to go up a lot more very soon. That's obviously a far lesser point, but it will affect people. Going to come back, talk to Pat and Trigby a little bit more and talk about the real implications of what's going on out in Los Angeles. And also, what's going on with Democrats? We'll come back and discuss that. Don't go anywhere. It's the All Ball Show for Wednesday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Matinee on Air.
Summer, summer, summer. It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We want to hook you up with $100 cash, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, and the chance to win a summer getaway to the Wisconsin Dells area or an escape to Door County. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store. Then listen in for the keywords during the 7 and 11 a.m. hour and 2 and 4 p.m. hour. Text in the keyword and get set to win. It's Civic Media's Scotty Summer.
It's June Dairy Month, and though more than 5 million people call Wisconsin home, we share our state with close to 1.5 million cows. Those beautiful animals. Okay, I grew up on a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. They've been here since before we became a state. Can you answer this? Most of our cow's milk currently makes which product? Is it butter, cheese, or ice cream? The answer coming up. Wisconsin's first official milk plant. 1894 in the Waupun area of Fond du Lac County. Fast forward more than 120 years, now farmer-owned with a second location in the Outagamie County village of Black Creek, the Saputo plant is even featured on History Channel's Modern Marvels for its award-winning cheesemaking. So did you guess? Most of our cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. Gouda for you. Celebrating our dairy farmers with this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
We need a fun listener name, something the followers of the show can call themselves. I thought, how about Couch Potatoes?
Potatoes?
I said it as a joke, and Todd cracked up. He goes, I love that. Whatever it is, folks, embrace your inner couch potato. We are not meant to work in the farms and hunt food. We were 1,000 years ago. But now, I think God wants us to sit back and be entertained.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org, a message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm backing up
Welcome She's back to the Colorado Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along with us here. Little Beach Boys for you, breaking over the last hour or so. Sad news from Music World, as Kreitlo does so well every morning from 6 until 9 on Mornings with Pat Kreitlo. Always has history, music history, and the great Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys. It was announced about an hour ago, has passed away. So sorry to hear that. Pat, a big loss for the music industry.
I have grabbed my Yacht Rock captain's hat and I'm holding it over my chest in mourning for the great Brian Wilson.
Yeah, right. It's Sly Stone a couple days ago or yesterday, whatever that was. Holy cow. Yep. They're going too fast. By the way, we're right smack dab in the Civic Media Summer Scotty Text to Win Trivia Contest. Text us, right? If you want a couple of pair of tickets or a pair of tickets for the Brewers, text right now to the Civic Media app SWIM. The word SWIM, S-W-I-M. SWIM is the word to text to the Civic Media app. At the end of this hour, we'll give you, somebody's going to get those two tickets to a Brewers game. And also, everybody gets entered in to win our two grand prizes of Wisconsin Getaway to either the Bell, the Baraboo Dells area, or the Door County area. So everybody is in on that. All right, you guys are only here to the bottom of the hour. Dan Schaefer, after that, talking about his new editorial on Tony Evers. I want to get to that as well. But first of all, guys, I want to play a clip. And this comes to us from, it's actually a story from Cincinnati, Ohio, from WCPO Channel 9. Great reporting here. This is what it means, the Trump policies, when it comes to your community.
He's a good kid, now facing deportation back to a country he barely knows.
No kid our age should be going through what he's going through. He's alone. He's in a jail cell right now, all by himself.
These are the friends and soccer teammates of
Emerson Calindres Bacadano.
The grad came to the U.S. with his family from Honduras over a decade ago seeking asylum. The case and appeal was denied with a final removal order in 2023. But the family says they were never told to leave, regularly checking in with ICE, including on Wednesday.
This facility in Blue Ash is where Emerson was asked to check in. It's where an ISAP program is run by ICE. That's Intensive Supervision Appearance Program. It is an alternative to detention. And Emerson's soccer coach says when he arrived, there were ICE agents waiting for him.
That's when they informed us that they were detaining and deporting Emerson only.
Now the teen is facing deportation to a country he hasn't known for over half his life.
No explanation was given.
And he didn't commit a violent crime, didn't do anything, had just was checking in because he was told to.
Yes. Emerson's one of the best kids I've ever met.
The emotions are still raw for Brian Williams, his longtime soccer coach.
We don't know what we can do, but we're doing whatever we can.
For his soccer teammates, that's sharing a reminder that each deportation case has a face and a story.
He's like the best player I've ever seen. He's dedicated. He wants to win.
He would always talk about God and just like everything that he's done for him.
A great teammate, great person.
A young man facing the consequences for an immigration decision he was too young to make himself.
It's not like he had a say in whether he could or couldn't come.
He just lived his life, grew up as a kid.
I just wanted to be here to show that I support him and I support anybody that's going through this because it's just not fair.
Andrew Rowan, WCPO 9 News.
Pat Kretlow, brought here at 8 years old, stellar athlete, stellar student, made friends, doing everything right, and he's gone. What the hell's wrong with this country?
A criminal is in charge. I mean, what are you going to say? A convicted criminal is running the country, is letting people out on pardons, pardoned all the people that were beating up cops on January 6th, rounding up people who are simply trying to work hard, or rounding up now children. This is the kind of criminal enterprise that we now have running this country. For whatever reason, we can't go back and change the election, so we have to do what we can in the courts or through resistance or through, you know, the next round of elections that come up. But what's happening here is nothing short of criminal. And let me make clear one of the things I will not settle for when this administration's finally gone. We're not turning the other cheek this time. There was a lot of talk when Barack Obama got elected. It's like, you know, let's not go back at, you know, the fighting a war over weapons of mass destruction. No. This time, there will be accountability.
Trigvi Olson, this could be one of your daughter's friends. We have kids like this in every community who are dreamers, who had no choice. They were brought here as kids, did everything right, and now they got no opportunity.
Yeah, it gets back to sort of cruelty is the and fear are the goal, because ultimately the objective is control, and fear and cruelty are a means for exercising control. The ultimate extreme of that is, you know, Vladimir Putin saying to the people of Ukraine, either you join us or I kill you. Right. But it's the same thing at its foundation.
Do you think we travel all around the state before the election? We heard a lot of people that were supporting Trump say, well, you know what? He's not going to go that far. The courts will stop him. Do you think any of these voters have any regrets?
Maybe a few. But there was just another example in the past hour or so on social media. There was a headline in The Hill that had something like Harris's latest lie, that the army is going to round people up. Well, right. No, she was right. She was right about pretty much everything about Trump.
And I'm not letting people off the left any easier than I'm on the right, because there are all kinds of people that showed up and said, Genocide Joe, I can't vote for Kamala. She's the lesser of two evils. And now you got, what's his name, Huckabee, who is the ambassador to Israel, saying, no, we're not going to do a two-state solution. That's over. Well, how'd that work out, lefties? Not so great.
They should listen to us. Just listen to us more. That's all we can tell you.
Right? I don't know.
Yes. Well, listen to Todd and old man Trigvy. We will not steer you wrong.
Sorry to end on that down note. When you come back, right. When we come back, more positivity from Dan Schaefer.
All right, I got to run, guys.
See you guys
later.
Stay tuned. The All Ball Show continues. Pam Yonke next with your ag news. It's the All Ball Show across Wisconsin on Civic Media.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Andrew Iverson is Wisconsin's new state director for USDA's Rural Development Office. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Wednesday. And his number one goal right now, making sure you and I know exactly what services the Rural Development Agency has to offer.
Well, that's a big part of it is you're exactly right. It's the outreach. And so it's taking our programs and educating communities and individuals and organizations what USDA Rural Development does. And so that's a big part of it is the outreach, going around the state and making people aware, first and foremost, of what we do. Another thing we want to focus on is streamlining our application process. That's the one thing we want to look into to make sure that we are providing excellent customer service to Wisconsinites.
Allen Iverson is the new state director for the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Rural Development Office, headquartered in Stevens Point. Prior to joining the Rural Development Office, he served as executive director for the Republican Party of Wisconsin.
65 years ago, Bob Steffes built a legacy, one auction at a time. Today, Steffes Group carries on that tradition, delivering trusted service with integrity you expect. From the first conversation to the final bid, we're more than an auction company. We're your partner in sharing your legacy, because here, handshakes still mean something. Visit steffesgroup.com right now for information on auctions in your area, nationwide, and to find a local representative near you. That's steffesgroup.com.
When hot weather strikes your cattle, milk production drops and feed intakes decrease. Summer heat also impacts the quality of your herd's reproduction. Protect your cows and grow your bottom line. Add BioVet's Bovine Goldlight to your cow's daily ration. Bovine Goldlight keeps the herd hydrated, maintains milk production, and keeps your breeding program in check. Learn more about Bovine Goldlight at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
And dairy farmers across the state have voted for 8 representatives on the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin Board of Director. There was only one district where more than one candidate was running. That was District 21, Crawford and Vernon counties, where Chad Syme from Gaze Mills was selected to represent dairy producers. The election results totaled just under 11% of dairy farmers from across the state that actually participated. And participation is strong at this year's Wisconsin State FFA Convention. Tonight, they will have a special recognition of their adults that have contributed to the FFA, the Wisconsin FFA Hall of Fame induction ceremony, as well as announcing the Stars Over Wisconsin that will advance to national competition this fall in Indianapolis. You can follow our action at MidwestFarmReport.com. Our team will be there. That's a look at what's happening in food news on a Wednesday. I'm Pam Yonke.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly sunny today and summer-like, with high temperatures tapping 80 degrees. Showers and storms hold off until after midnight tonight, but they could linger early tomorrow morning. Otherwise, more could spark up tomorrow afternoon, and temps slide to the mid-70s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau. Right now, it's 75 degrees.
Matt Nair on air.
State Representative Christian Phelps.
As somebody who's in my first term in the legislature, one of the striking things is how seldom the majority party speaks with us. I don't know how many of my colleagues personally feel LGBTQ people don't deserve freedom, but that's kind of irrelevant at the end of the day. They've already spent a number of days attacking trans people because those are days they don't have to spend defending their very unpopular economic agenda.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
At 4:30, it'll be this week's edition of Broad Appeal. I'll be talking with Tanya Atkinson, president of Planned Parenthood Advocates Wisconsin. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. There is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man.
Milwaukee's best.
It's a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity.
Hey man, what about Milwaukee, man?
It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition.
I think God would want us to go to Milwaukee.
And it lies between the pit of a man's fears and the summit of his knowledge.
What do you think about Milwaukee?
This is the dimension of imagination. You are now entering the recombobulation area.
And just like that, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. It's 35 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock on the All Balls Show across Wisconsin on Civic Media. We are in the recombobulation area right now. But before we bring on Mr. Dan Schaefer, I want to remind you that we are also smack dab in the middle of the Civic Media Scotty Summer Text to Win contest, where up for grabs this hour, two Milwaukee, speaking of Milwaukee, Milwaukee Brewer tickets. I was just there on Sunday. Milwaukee, a great city. The game, not so much. Brewers lost 1-0 to the Padres. But you can go and enjoy these beautiful tickets at our club-level seats. All you have to do is text the word SWIM right now to the Civic Media app, S-W-I-M, SWIM. Text it on the Civic Media app, and you'll have a chance to win these two tickets. The computer will draw it out at the top of the hour. So only a half an hour left, a little less than that. Text the word SWIM, S-W-I-M, right now. Also, everybody gets entered in for the one of two fabulous grand prizes, either a trip to the Baraboo Dells area or the Door County area and a gas card to get you there and back. So participate. It's a lot of fun. Your chances of winning are pretty high. Better than Vegas, anyway, or a pull tab at a bar. SWIM, S-W-I-M. That's what you want to do. Text it right now. Speaking of the recombobulation area, he is the founding editor thereof, the founder of the recombobulation area, also our political editor here at Civic Media. And I said this, I think, yesterday on the show, Dan Schaefer, that Maggie Gow and Britt Cutterback from the governor's office are probably going to need to spend some time there, because after what you wrote, they're probably feeling a little discombobulated.
I like how you set that one up, Todd. That's good stuff.
How are you?
But yeah, what do you want to talk about today, Todd?
For those that don't know, Dan debuted yesterday at the recombobulation area, and please go there and subscribe at www. And I'm told now by people smarter than me, you must use the www.recombobulationarea.com.
www.therecombobulationarea.news.
That's it.
There we go.
I was trying to help. I just messed things up. But anyway, go there, therecombobulationarea.news, resubscribe. It's fantastic. And yesterday, Dan Schaefer, you published an op-ed in which you made a little bit, as Bob Schieffer at CBS likes to say, made a little bit of news.
Made a little bit of news, stirring the pot a little bit. Decided to go out and plant a flag on this one. The title of the piece is called Pass the Torch. Tony Evers should not run for a third term as governor. Basically, the larger premise of the piece is that Evers needs to do what so many other Democrats have not done and step aside when the time is right. And I think Evers, who will be 75 in November 2026 when he is on the ballot, when he would be on the ballot if he decides to seek a third term, I think it would be the best decision for him now to step aside and pass the torch to the next generation of leaders in Wisconsin.
I've seen it. It's very well written, as you always do. I think it's very thoughtful. Did you come to write this just from your own thoughts, or is this based on your reporting, the people, the sources you've talked to within the Democratic Party, with outside, and just thinking, you know, I'm not sure this guy has a real shot again?
Well, you know, I've talked to a number of people as I've put this together. I've had this in the works for a while. It's something I've been thinking about quite a bit. And I think it, yes, it is very much colored by what happened with Joe Biden's catastrophic 2024, the debate, the dropout, everything connected to it. But I think it is beyond that. I think, you know, I think Evers could still be a very strong candidate if he does run again. But I also think there is a whole lot of risk involved with running a candidate in his mid-70s for an important office like this. And, you know, I'm not saying there is a direct one-to-one comparison between Tony Evers and Joe Biden. You know, Joe Biden was a particularly unpopular president. Tony Evers is a popular purple state governor. But I think Democrats have to recognize that they have had a real problem with this. It's not just Biden. You know, there have been 8 congressional Democrats since 2022 who have died in office. 3 since last fall's election. You know, at what point are Democrats going to stand up and recognize that they have a problem here and actually pass the torch to the next generation of leaders? And I think back to, you know, 2007, 2008, I think part of what was so thrilling about Barack Obama's rise at the time is because it seemed like he was ushering in this new generation of leadership, that Democrats seemed like the party of the future. I don't think you can really say that about the Democratic Party right now. It's not just Biden. It's not just these other folks who have spent too much time in office. You know, even just look at the U.S. Senate. There are more senators over the age of 75 than there are senators younger than the age of 50. And of those senators who are over 75, I think 9 of 12 of them are Democrats. Mm-hmm. And this has been such a problem for the party. I don't see how we are not having this conversation about Evers, about passing the torch.
So what's your writing this article at the recombobulation area, what's your biggest concern, Dan? Is it really about what could happen to Evers personally? Like, hey, you know, let's get a little long in the tooth here. Anything could happen. Let's avoid having the possibility or a greater possibility of a Biden-esque moment. Or are you using kind of Evers as the, holy crap, we as the Democratic Party here are the Democratic Party, we just need to move on?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think there is also an element of this that by staying on for another term, it stymies the other larger development of the party. And I think there have been some other moments where the Democratic bench has not been as strong. I think there are a number of qualified candidates who would be, you know, throwing their hats into the ring if Evers decides not to run. And I think, you know, given the larger dynamics of kind of the history of a midterm election, given the field of Republicans, which I think is really poor right now, that could be running for governor in a couple of years. I think the time is right to pass the torch and you know, let the next generation of leaders rise. And I think there's also this problem, too, that Democrats have, to their detriment, gone out of their way to avoid a primary. I think, you know, everything that happened with Kamala Harris last year was, you know, considering the timeline and everything, it was an acceptable enough process, but it still wasn't a particularly good one. I think we would have been better off having the voters decide. I think that would also have been the case had we had a more competitive primary in the 2022 Senate race. I think there is this kind of iron sharpens iron quality of having, you know, more competitive primaries that Democrats, to their detriment, have avoided. And as so many people are looking for, you know, what should be the next path forward for Democrats? Who's the Joe Rogan of the left? Should we go with abundance or populism or whatever it is? How about we just have the voters decide? How about we get back to that small D democratic principles and putting it to the voters and letting the people decide?
We're talking with Dan Schaefer, the founder of the Recombobulation Area. You can check him out at www.therecombobulationarea.news. Please subscribe. It's a great publication. He is also our political editor here at Civic Media, talking specifically about an op-ed he wrote yesterday and published calling for Governor Evers not to run for a third term. Dan, I'm enormously entertained by this and intrigued by it. Like I say, it's really well written. But here we have, and you've been pretty open about this, that, you know, you lean more Democratic when it comes to just your political ideology. Me, a former Republican who left the party in 2011, but has voted Democratic ever since. And you would think maybe, well, Todd would be all, this is great. I mean, Todd would be all for it. I'm generally a pot stirrer. But here now, I see. I guess maybe it's my old school in me because I'm not quite there yet. I mean, if Evers is on the ticket, yes, I'm going to support him regardless of because I think that there's nobody on the Republican side who's not a sycophant, a genuflector to Trump, and I think that's dangerous. But here's my concern, Dan Schaefer, and I was listening to you filling in for Maggie Dawn with Angela Lang and Matt Rothschild yesterday. You all did a fantastic job, and I thought Angela Lang said something really interesting, and correct me because I'm going to paraphrase it as I recall it, and she said something along the lines of, and she's a longtime organizer in the Milwaukee area, she said something along the lines of, I think in this time of Trump and kind of extremist rightism, that there's a lot of Democrats, particularly in the progressive base, who don't want a centrist anymore, who don't want this kind of milk toastiness, that they want somebody harder on the left. And that's my concern, that if Evers doesn't run, there's going to be this wide open Democratic primary and that the progressive base is going to nominate more of a lefty who is not going to sit well in a general election. And then we get that idiot showman or somebody else in the governor's seat. And then it's, you know, Katie bar the door. Here we go.
Well, I think my issues with Evers have never really been like a real ideological difference or policy differences. And so, but I think if, you know, just the short list of candidates that I mentioned on there, would you pluck out any of them to say that they are particularly far left? So I'll just run through the list quickly. Attorney General Josh Call, State Senator Kelda Royce, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski. I'm probably missing some. And you know, soon to be former chair Ben Wickler. Is there anybody in that group that you would consider to be part of like the progressive left-leaning wing of the party that you think might have trouble with in, you know, capturing some voters like yourself, some more independent-minded kind of towards the center?
I think I'm a bad example because I've just been through too much politically. Otherwise, I'm going to vote for the Democratic nominee, whoever that is, because I'm opposed to Trumpism. And I don't think there's anybody in Wisconsin Republican politics that's a possibility candidate for governor who's not part of Trumpism. So I'm a poor example. I will say people in, as they say, outstate, people not in Milwaukee and Madison, people in more rural areas of the state. To answer your question directly, I've had the pleasure of meeting all the people that you mentioned. They're all fine with me. There's nobody there I personally have a problem with. What I'm concerned about is to win the Democratic primary, how far left do they have to go? What position? I mean, Josh Call, I mean, he's seen as milquetoast. He didn't go after the fake electors in Wisconsin. I don't think he can win a Democratic primary. Kelda Royce, I think she's very smart, a great senator. She has been a little bit outstate, but I don't know how she's going to play statewide. She lost the primary once for a governor in the Democratic primary. Sarah Godlewski, I think she's fine. I hear her husband has financial issues that could come up in a general election. That may stymie her. I think Sarah Rodriguez is fantastic. That would be my pick, but you know, she's not super well known right now. Of course, that can be solved with money. Guess what? Who else do we leave out? Ben Wickler, fantastic chair. We're going to get to that in a minute. I think he should be DNC chair still. But, you know, he's never been an actual elected official. How does that play? So there's just a lot of unknowns. And in a time in our state where Governor Evers' veto pen is the only thing keeping us from being Florida or Texas politically, do we want to take that chance?
Well, I think, you know, we can't be so risk averse that people are afraid of their own voters, right? I think, you know, to want to control the scenario as much as I think some do, I think that, you know, gives fewer opportunities to really have the conversation. We don't know how these candidates might run until the rubber hits the road, until this goes from the hypothetical to the reality. And I think, again, we can't be so risk averse that we're afraid that Democrats are afraid of their own voters.
Back with more after this is the All Ball Show on Civic Media.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We're following up on a story from last summer when Georgia's State Elections Board voted to allow county election board members to conduct their own investigations before certifying an election, potentially throwing the elections into chaos. The state Supreme Court threw out that and other fringe rules on June 10th. The Georgia Elections Board approved partisan, conspiracy-driven rules just 90 days before the 2024 election, including allowing individual members of county election boards to conduct their own reasonable inquiry before certifying an election. Another rule approved in September required a hand count of paper ballots into stacks of 50 to compare with the machine count total. Pro-voter groups challenged the rules, and last October, a district court judge ruled they were enacted too close to the election and were too disruptive. The Republican National Committee and the Georgia GOP appealed for an emergency order, which was declined until after the election. In a victory for voters, the Georgia Supreme Court found June 10th that most of the election board's new rules were not enabled by state statute. The court allowed surveillance cameras at drop boxes, but struck down most others, including reasonable inquiry investigations, post-election document examination, hand counting, and IDs for family members dropping off mail ballots. Two other rules were sent back to lower courts. We have the 96-page order at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
All right, time to visit with Melissa Baldoff as we talk climate issues. Acting FEMA chief told staff he didn't know about U.S. hurricane seasons.
What?
Speechless too.
I mean,
I love it. We're all just sitting here like, what?
If it is a joke, and I don't know that it is, it's not a funny one. We've seen more deadly hurricanes, so we have every reason to expect it will be a bad hurricane season.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Welcome back to the Tallaball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 8 minutes before the hour of 3 o'clock at the top of the hour. A little news for you. Then we'll come back with the What's Worse? A funeral edition today. Funeral or no funeral? We'll discuss that coming up in hour two. And also we're going to talk about the big parade on Saturday with Seth Taft for Baraboo. Stay tuned. We're waiting for in nervous anticipation, but right now you don't have to wait. He's here live and in person directly out of the recombobulation area. Mr. Dan Schaefer, the founder of the recombobulation area and also our political editor here at Civic Media. You can see all of his work and please subscribe at www.therecombobulationarea.news. Talking about this great article he wrote yesterday, op-ed calling for Governor Evers not to seek re-election. Off of the YouTube channel, Tony says, I'm generally anti-older candidates. Gee, thanks, Tony. But Evers feels a little different. I really love the guy. Dan, people really do love him. His last Marquette Law School poll, his numbers are like still 60-plus likability, favorability.
Wasn't quite that high, but he is very well liked among Wisconsin Democrats. He is among the more popular politicians in the state. He has had demonstrated that he does have some crossover appeal. But you know, at a certain point, that was also the case for another former Wisconsin Democratic politician who I used as an example in this piece too. So one of the things that I talked about. And this piece was the example of Herb Kohl retiring, the late Herb Kohl. In May of 2011, Herb Kohl announced that he was going to be retiring at the end of his term. And now this is right after Democrats got absolutely cooked in the 2010 midterms. You know, Scott Walker won, Ron Johnson won, Republicans flipped the state legislature. So holding that seat in 2012 was far from a sure thing. But what happened was Cole announced that he was retiring. And here's the quote that he said in that news conference announcing his retirement. He said, quote, "The office doesn't belong to me. It belongs to the people of Wisconsin, and there is something to be said for not staying in office too long." So does Tony Evers want his legacy to be more like that of Herb Cole, who has a pretty unimpeachable legacy at this moment and got to spend his golden years riding shotgun in the car leading the Milwaukee Bucks championship parade? Or do you want your legacy to be that like that of Joe Biden, who is now spending his time dodging questions about whether or not he was mentally competent while in office, whether or not he was covering that up, and whether or not that contributed to the rise of fascism in America?
Wow. I love every part of this. I love every part. Dan Schaefer stirring it up. Jenny, watching on YouTube as well, says, because earlier before the break, my argument was, I'm afraid the Democrats are going to mess this up and nominate somebody who's way too progressive to win in a general election. Jenny says, everything Todd is saying is exactly the conversation Democratic voters should be included in and justifies Dan's article, exclamation point.
I think we have to be having this conversation. This has to be a conversation that comes out of the behind the scenes, off the record type of stuff to actually publicly having this conversation. I think Democrats are so afraid of their own shadow at sometimes that, you know, I saw some comments out there saying, oh, you know, this is only going to be used by Republicans to sow discord among Democrats. No. Do you think this conversation is not happening in some capacity?
I know it is.
We all know this conversation is happening. Yes. And to stand there and, you know, don't move, otherwise Republicans will notice that Tony Evers is old. Come on, get real.
No, you and I both, people have talked to both of us off the record, and these conversations have been happening for a year or plus all around the state of Wisconsin and in the Democratic Party. Look, I want to get to this. Gene, I see you. You know, Claire, I know where Gene is at. She's a big fan of Governor Tony Evers. She likes to say he's a workhorse, not a show horse. Gene, we'll get you in hour two, but I want to get your take on this. We don't have time for the clip, but Ken Martin, the DNC chair of the National Democratic Party, was caught on tape. It was released by Politico. We played it yesterday. And basically, Ken Martin is saying, I don't know if I want to do this anymore because of all the infighting out in D.C. That, to me, is just, again, Democrats have a problem nationally right now, in my opinion.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's going great with Ken Martin. Just bang up job there. You know, and this is part of the issue. If you can't bring together if you're thrown off by some disagreement within Democrats, like, how did you not see that coming? Like, right. This is the big tent party. There's going to be a lot of differing opinions and all of that. And to not, you know, see this type of thing coming is another part of the problem.
Big Democratic convention, right? The Dells, are they part of the text to win contest? They're having their convention of the Dells this weekend. For a long time, everybody thought Joseph Pecky was a shoo-in, but then Wickler, the current chairman, reversed, I'm not going to endorse anybody. Then he endorses his lieutenant. How's this going to once again, Wisconsin Democrats snatching victory or defeat from the jaws of victory. Let's hold the vote on Father's Day. Boy, that was a great idea.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to being, I'm going to be there in the Dells covering the vote. So I'll be there spending part of my Father's Day covering that vote. It's going to be a ranked choice vote, which I think is kind of interesting, the having the three candidates and having a ranked choice vote. So that will be interesting. None of the other officers have contested races. So, like, for example, Sarah Godlewski is running for first vice chair. She is going to win that race because there is no one else running for first vice chair. So the actual chair race, it's going to be really interesting to follow. You know, it'll be interesting to see how impactful Wickler's endorsement was, if that may have backfired, how exactly this is all going to play out. And I'm looking forward to everybody there being super thrilled with me.
I feel so bad for you. Yes or no, can Wickler still become the DNC chair? Can Martin be thrown out?
I mean, I would love to see it.
Me too.
I'd love to see it.
Me too. And yeah. Finally, no bigger Bucks fan than you. Giannis staying in Milwaukee or no?
I think he's staying.
Yes, you heard it here first. Check him out at the recombobulation area. Mr. Dan Schaefer, thank you so much. Appreciate you, my friend.
Thanks for having me, Todd. Be well.
Always a pleasure. Come back, hour two. What's worse is the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
We have breaking news from New York City, where the jury has reached a partial verdict in the sex crimes retrial of former Hollywood producer Harvey Weinstein. CBS News national correspondent Nikki Batiste joins us from Manhattan with more on this breaking news. And Nikki, we have verdicts now in two of the three charges against Weinstein. Break that down for us. What does this mean?
Nancy, this is pretty unprecedented to see. We have three charges here. Weinstein was found guilty on one charge of a criminal sex act. He was found not guilty on another charge of a criminal sex act. Two different victims. On the third charge of rape, there's no verdict. The jury said they haven't been able to come to a verdict on that particular charge yet. The judge has released the jury for the day, told them to take a break. They'll be back tomorrow morning to resume the deliberations on that one charge they haven't reached a verdict on yet. It's pretty unbelievable down here.
So I know that they have been released for the day, but can you explain what happened with the jury?